Well, folks, what is a crack? It's Gareth McGlynn here, back with another episode of the Pre-Construction Podcast. Now, before we get into today's guest, I have a favor. The Pre-Construction Podcast team work diligently. They work really hard to bring you some great guests and some great content. And they have asked me to ask you to please subscribe or follow or whatever you do on whatever platform that you listen to the Pre-Construction Podcast. So please do that. It does help us. I don't know how, but they're telling me it helps us. So please do. Listen, over to today's guest today. Now, his name is Grant Medulin. He is VP of Pre-Construction at Moss & Associates, and he sits in Dallas, Texas. Now, unlike the previous three episodes that were recorded live at Precon World in Dallas, I didn't get a chance to sit down with Grant, but did tie him down to a Zoom interview, which we've just completed. And he's a great guy, really humble, really thankful for what construction has given him and his family. And he goes, and again, he kind of reverts it back to Michigan State, a Bachelor of Construction Management. He is in full praise of what they have done for him in his career. And he's got a stellar background. 13 years as superintendent project manager at Turner, 2 years then doing conceptual estimating at the Chrysman Company, 5 years at Turner again as senior PM and chief estimator, and now almost 6 years as VP of Precon with Moss & Associates. So we had loads to get through. What did we talk about? We talked about relationships in pre-construction. We talked about pre-construction technology. We talked about the market. The market right now. We talked about higher education, sports, hospitality, high rise, the cost of construction. We talked about him throwing himself at all different facets of construction companies and a small stint within the financial group at one stage with Turner. So that was very, very interesting. And he also discussed this time within construction as a window of opportunity. And I thought that was very interesting. He sees this as a window of opportunity for his clients to get projects started, to get ahead of the pack. So listen, without further ado, let's get over to Grant. As always, before we speak to Grant, let's get our two sponsors on. Again, two pre-construction technology firms, Concentric and Beck Technology.
Hi, I'm Steve DeLordo, founder and CEO of Concentric, the first holistic platform for pre-construction. As a former executive officer of one of the largest general contractors in the U.S., I've experienced firsthand the challenges the industry is facing, particularly in pre-construction. Pre-construction is still a highly manual and fractured collection of processes. Essential information is kept in ad hoc, scattered spreadsheets and documents, which really limits the understanding and hides the full picture of a project for all those involved. Concentric is here to change that. Our 360-degree platform unites data, workflows, and people. With Concentric, you and your team can access real-time insights and data, assess and mitigate risk to ensure a successful project outcome, and most importantly, unlock the enormous capacity of your talent and your data. To learn more about Concentric and to book a demo, head to our website, concentric.com. That's spelled concentric.com. Concentric, it's pre-construction recalibrated for the modern builder.
Grant Medulin, welcome to the Pre-Construction Podcast.
Thank you, Gareth. Good morning.
Good morning to you too. Thank you for coming on. You're in the beautiful sunny Texas. How is the weather?
I appreciate it. It is sunny. It's a crisp 36 degrees out here today. So we're entering fall, or as we know, straight from summer to winter.
There is no fall. Brilliant. Well, listen, Grant, for anybody that doesn't know you, give us a quick bio of where you're at right now.
I appreciate it. I really do. Listen, I got to, I'll simply start with and say thank you, because I went to Michigan State University and found their construction management program. And I'll tell you, it was just one of those things where, I found the program, somebody shared it with me, and it was one of those things where this is it. I know this is the right place for me. and great program, great instructors, great people. And it really started from there in terms of internships. Started as a laborer out in the field on a demolition crew. And I'll tell you, you'll gain a deep respect for the trades and what it takes, you know, for the skilled trades to actually do the work by being a laborer. You know, 25 years of doing this now, over $4 billion worth of projects built, over $22 billion worth of projects when you include estimating of projects, whether they're built or not. But I'll tell you, my career over the last 25 years, I'm just blessed. Blessed to have opportunity, blessed to be working with great people. And everybody you work with, you just try to learn something from each person you work with. And that career has been boots on the ground, opportunities as a superintendent, project manager, opportunity to work in the financial group for 2 years, which I'll tell you, wonderful, wonderful way to learn the business is to work in the financial group. And then really pre-con, you know, which is what we're here for today. But I've had five different tours in pre-con in some different offices, and you get to understand different cultures, different means and methods, and you learn from different people and you take the best of. And that's what we've done here at Moss, is really we're taking the best of to create something that's really, truly special.
Love it. Wow, what an introduction. And I'm going to dive deep into all of that. But let's take it back. Was it always construction for you, Grant, before you went into Michigan State? Was it always Michigan State? And then was it always construction?
It was, I've always been a Michigan State fan. It was not always construction.
Okay.
It was a life of trying to figure out what. I was circling between business, architecture, didn't really know what it was. You know, so many people really have no idea that construction management is a career. And that's one of the challenges that we have as an industry is, you know, the kids in school, they think, hey, I've got to be a doctor, I've got to be a nurse, I've got to be an accountant. Nobody really understands that construction management is a wonderful career that is, it's like a cross between engineering and business. And so I found it at Michigan State University, thinking that I wanted to become an architect, thinking that I wanted to do business. And this was a sweet spot in between.
Brilliant. I love that analogy. It's a cross between business and engineering. I've never heard that one before. I love it. So you went to Michigan State, obviously love it. Obviously a Michigan State fan. You turn up in Turner, you've gone and done the trades. We all know that we're nothing as general contractors without the trades. So you've got that appreciation, that humbleness going into the GC world. Straight into superintendent and project management. How was that? Was that something that was it as you expected, or was it much more difficult?
Well, the entire world, you have to go in with an open mind. Yeah. I mean, everything was bigger, more intense. You know, but I'm a passionate learner. And so I just go into everything just trying to learn and figure it out. Made mistakes along the way, of course. You know, and those mistakes are what built us into better people. You know, we take those lessons learned and try to make sure that we do better. But, you know, it was as a superintendent, it was really intense. You know, trying to make sure that we had everybody marching in a straight line, you know, leading the crews. But it's also, it's not a dictatorship. You know, the subcontractors, they are the experts. And we've got to make sure that we use their expertise, involve them along the way for planning. That's how we're successful. We're one person leading and directing everything that's just closed mind.
That's just a dictatorship, Ian, and nobody ever thrives under a dictatorship, whether it's a company or a country. And project management then, was that kind of the natural step for you? Because, I mean, we all talk and we talk numerous times in this podcast about the importance of getting field experience. I mean, you have got a solid, solid experience, 13 years superintendent project management. How difficult was the transition from super to project management and the biggest lessons learned within project management?
You know, I'll tell you, it was the transition for me was pretty easy. Simply because it's an attitude of learning. And so in my career, it wasn't linear. And I think that's also important. we rotated staff around quite a bit. And so you'd be a superintendent here, you'd be a project manager here. You might go into estimating here, you might go into the finance group here. And so we rotated staff around, and that was part of our culture. And so because it was part of the culture, you knew that you were going to have experiences and opportunities to grow. And I think that was really fantastic. So moving into project management, you know, it's a little bit more on the front end, you know, a little bit more dealing straight with the client. You know, it was, I simply take every opportunity as a learning, you know, growth opportunity and just do the best. So I can't really remember if it was hard or easy, but we did it.
You're getting your stride. I love it. Now, talk to us. Now, I don't want you sitting the fence on this question here. What was your appreciation of estimating and pre-construction when you were in that project manager role? If you can think back, was there was it the same old, these guys are just in a room crunching numbers and then throwing them at us and we're supposed to deliver them? What was it like?
Well, I mean, when you're in the field, I mean, that's really what you learn is what it takes to execute the project. As you're a project manager, you learn what it takes to execute a project. What I would say is just unknowing. You know, you don't know exactly what it takes to do the estimating and pre-construction besides whatever classes you had at school. And while that does provide a good foundation, you know, it's really an opportunity. You don't really understand. I mean, there's a lot of people that may look at estimating as a project manager and just, you know, put their nose down about it and say, well, they're just crunching numbers, right? They're just taking bids and submitting a number and it's easy. You know, we've got two people that are rotating through our group right now. One's an assistant project manager. The other one's a superintendent. And which is one of the things we try to do is rotate those younger staff through so that they have an opportunity to learn. I mean, best case scenario for us and for them is if they can then work in the pre-construction group on a project and then follow that project out into the field. They become an expert. And it's really growing our leaders. I mean, they have a better understanding of what it takes to help foster and build a job, build a relationship with a client. They go out there and they hit the ground running.
And it's an appreciation. And you talked it there very very well about the finance group. I mean, you've been in all the other groups. You had an opportunity to go into the finance group. Now, an understanding from a high level how the business makes decisions is so important. So that'll help you then with whether you go into pre-construction or project management. And it's the same within pre. And that's why the rotational thing that the big firms like Turner is so important. That's why I recommend a lot of the younger people to go in and make sure they get that rotational experience.
Yeah, I'll tell you what was wonderful is we got to see how projects were successful. We also got to see how projects were unsuccessful and some of the problems that happened. And, you know, that really builds your foresight and to be able to see and predict some of the things. So it's an experience I wish everybody could get.
Absolutely. I love it. And it is the experience that most people get right now. I mean, I know there's more divisions like sprouting up from over the last 10 or 15 years, the likes of VDC, BIM, you've got data management within pre-construction. So there's so much available for graduates coming in right now. It's not just the old hard hat and Wellingtons.
I mean, it really gives perspective. That's really the biggest thing. We're all a product of our environment. And if you can expand your perspective, it really expands your view of the world.
Brilliant, brilliant. Now let's talk conceptual estimating because you left then Turner for a couple of years and then went back to Turner with the Christman Company as chief estimator for conceptual estimating. How was that? How was that transition? How was that experience?
Well, what I'd say is that fantastic companies, all of them. Yeah. Turner was wonderful. The Christman Company was wonderful. You know, what's really interesting is an opportunity to work with some different people. When I say people, each office has its own culture. And the culture is really a combination of your physical environment and the leadership there. Had an opportunity, you know, in one of those offices was really led by an engineer. So very numbers, very methodical, very black and white. And then at the Crispin Company, we actually had an architect who was at the time our vice president of project planning. And what a different perspective that provided. And so it was fantastic in terms of expanding my knowledge and my vision on the on our industry, which is really having the perspective, in a, you know, looking at it a different way. And so that's what I would say is always understand, you know, the people that you're working with, because the culture, you know, can be how do we make the project successful or how do we make our clients and the overall team successful.
Yeah.
And so just all good experiences.
Brilliant. And then now VP of pre-construction at Moss, you mentioned before we started recording 90% of your projects are now conceptual. I mean, real. It just gives you an insight into what you guys are doing, what you guys are doing right. You're now VP of Precon. You get the chance to lead, build your own culture. You said it before, from everything that you've learned, from all the different perspectives. How has that been, and how have you managed to cultivate that culture?
Yeah, well, I mean, I appreciate that. So here right now, Vice President of Pre-Construction for Moss and Associates for our Texas office. Have taken a lot of what my own personal career has been, which, you know, is really focused on delivering some of the highest quality pre-construction services we can. It starts with understanding your client. It starts with relationships. You know, that's one of the wonderful things that we have here at Moss. You know, Moss's culture differentiates us. It starts with honoring relationships. Those relationships are with the client, with our subcontractors, with everybody that we work with, because we have to understand. But it really starts, you know, the culture that we look at in terms of conceptual estimating. You know, most of all of our work is negotiated, and we're involved from day one. It can be napkin sketch, it can be programmatic, it can be schematics, but we're involved with the client in terms of delivering to them cost and, you know, cost expertise. On what, you know, we're managing expectations from day one, managing those expectations of what can be achieved at what dollar value and how can we do it better, right? So that conceptual estimating in the philosophy that we brought here is the relationships are key, because you have to understand it's not designed yet. You know, there's a concept and there's a vision that's in the head of a client, and there's a concept and a vision that's in the head of the design team. And, you know, they're looking at us to provide the expertise of, number one, what's it going to cost? And it has to be a competitive price, has to be an aggressive price. It has to be a price that also has enough money in it to build it successfully to the quality and schedule that everybody wants. So, you know, the relationships are key. Understanding the why is key. Understanding the details are key. And also being able to communicate to the client in their language is key, because we have to be able to provide that expertise in a way that they understand it, they comprehend it, and we can have dialogue back and forth about, okay, this is where we're at, and how do we get to where we need to be for it to be successful. But that's, you know, the conceptual estimating is it's absolutely key for our business, especially here in Texas, because, as I said, you know, 90% of our work is conceptual and working on negotiated projects.
Brilliant. And that's, as VP, I mean, you must wear loads of hats to be able to do all of that and deal with the clients and have your finger on the pulse across many different sectors. You obviously have got to have a great team and build a great team. But what does your day-to-day look like as a VP? Because I get people asking me all the time. They're senior estimators, senior pre-construction managers, looking to go to directors and VPs, and they don't really know what that role looks like on a day-to-day. I mean, what could you give them an insight?
Well, what I would say is that, you know, first of all, we have a great team. It all starts with, it only works if you have a good team.
Yeah.
There's no one person that can do everything. We have a fantastic team here at Moss. And the people here really understand what it takes in terms of delivering that expertise. But what I say is that on a daily basis, we have multiple projects that are being worked on in our office at any given point in time. And some of those are conceptual in terms of providing budgets. Some of those are schematic and DD level, providing detailed estimates. And some of those are GMPs. We have multiple GMPs that are in process right now in our office. And so we'll have a team of people. We have, what I'd say is that we have senior pre-construction managers who are project leaders. And They're doers and leaders digging into the details and understand what's in these documents as also what is not in these documents. But we're also only as good as our subcontractors. So that relationship that we have with the external, you know, outside of our office, but as part of our subcontractor community is critical. So I would say that we start people at the fundamentals, but once you're at a senior pre-construction manager level, I mean, you're a real project leader dealing on a day-to-day basis with each one of these projects. Once you get up to my level, the biggest thing that I try to do is make sure that I check in with the group, provide leadership. I do review every project, make sure that we go through the numbers, which subcontractors are we leaning on right now? What does that coverage look like? Where are the gaps? Okay. We look at what opportunities might we have to be more aggressive? What opportunities, you know, where do we need to take a more conservative approach? Those are all part of what we do. I do a lot of high-level budgeting myself for clients, and we utilize programmatic data based on historical cost. So everything that we've done in our office at every level, all the way from the details, all the way through GMP, we have set up, I'll call it macro-level program areas. And everything we do is estimated within those buckets so that we can capture that historical data. We can benchmark that data. We can talk to a client. We can talk internally and say, does this make sense? Is it within the realm that we think it works? So we are heavy in the details is what I would say.
Brilliant. And I love that. I mean, historical data, it's a buzzword right now. If you don't have it, your job becomes incredibly more labor intensive, but more complex as well. I mean, how do you guys do that? Do you guys use it on your internal proprietary technology? Do you use Power BI? How do you gather it? What data points do you look at?
Sure. Well, what I would say is that, everything right now we do by setting up our estimates in a similar fashion so that we capture that data. Right now, everything is, I'll say, custom Excel database. And everything is custom Excel database because we have fine-tuned it to our needs. We are talking about evolving to another technology platform in the future. But because we wanted to custom tailor it to what we were doing, and we do it based on the product, right? Because each product has its own nuances. And at the time, we didn't find a software platform that really allowed us to capture that data the way that we needed to. And so if you're looking at an office product, a hospitality product, a student living product, a multifamily product, a high-rise product, they all have different criteria. And so we've created, I'll call it custom templates where we capture that data. And so we'll look at it. You know, we'll look at it once we have an estimate ready and say, first of all, does this make sense? Number two, is there anything that is an anomaly? And we have to understand the why. Okay, all of this, you know, really points back to the why.
Yeah.
Okay, there's one key point. Our team has to know why. Why does something cost what it is? Because if we're going to communicate to our design partners and to our clients, as a partner, we have to understand why. Why does it cost something? Why is it higher? Why is it lower? And then one of the things that we have done that I think is unique is we have developed a way to create storylines. And those storylines are basically organizing the data in a way where we can communicate it to a client, say, listen, these are the buckets of why. You know, why something, you know, okay, well, we expanded the building and that expanding the building drove up the overall total cost, but it dropped the dollars per square foot. Let's compare that to your net rentable per square foot and what your marketing performer looks like. At the same time, if we're looking at adding seats, we're adding looking suites to a stadium, all right? We have to understand and be able to communicate the why in a way that our clients understand.
Brilliant. And that goes up the ways and down the ways, obviously with subcontractors. So you get your information from the subcontractors, relay that to your clients whenever they're asking you for a story about the data or the prices. Brilliant.
Yeah. And I would tell you that we're the ones creating the storylines, you know, and, you know, everything we do starts internally. We do our own internal estimate. We do get subcontractors, you know, we involve them very early. And we use that information to validate and build our estimate as much as we have our own internal estimate. We might look at and say, listen, we think that our number is really the better number to carry right now, or we think, hey, this subcontractor is really an expert. Let's make sure that we align with their number. But the storylines are us, all right, in terms of in our group understanding the details and sitting there and saying, okay, let's make sure that we understand this. Let's make sure that we can tell the story. We might have two storylines. We might have five, or we might have 10 storylines on a project that we're delivering that message in.
How important has that been to your success?
It's critical. And if you think about the fact that when our team is going to be sitting in front of a client and delivering that expertise, a lot of times, you know, people are just focused on the bottom line. But there's some important messages that really need to be understood. And so the storylines, you know, we have, when we deliver the message to a client, we have to understand their relationships that they have in terms of partners, investors, a boss, a board. And so the message that we deliver, that message needs to be carried on without us sitting there. Okay. And so if you think about every person in our office, we want them to be presenting their work to a client. And I think that's one thing that also differentiates us, is because we want that relationship to be person to person. And we want to make sure that we're sharing the details and the why, and okay, this is why this is going to cost more. This is why we're able to achieve some cost reduction. But our clients have to take those storylines and communicate those without us sitting there.
Yeah, interesting. And I didn't actually think about that one before. Obviously, my concentration is always within the pre-con team of a GC, talking to the subcontractors and relay that into the clients. I didn't then think about the food chain further down, where we've talked to the client, but the client then have used that information to talk to their investors. So it's quite a long food chain when you think about it.
It really is. And When we deliver that expertise, we talk about delivering a package, okay? Yeah. And that package, it doesn't have to be thick, but it has to be comprehensive and it has to be simple, which is one of the challenges that we have as engineers in this business. We get overly complicated. And so we have to make sure that we understand it and we communicate it in a simple way. And we put it in terms of, I'll call it, it can be electronic, but basically a package that tells that story. And so the main message is, you've got to be able to tell a story that is simple enough and have a package that can tell the story without you sitting there.
Yeah.
So as we talk as a group, you have to manage your client's expectations, but you have to be able to manage those expectations after you're done and without you sitting there, which really we've custom tailored our products to make sure that we're delivering something that is professional and comprehensive.
Brilliant. Just quick one, Grant, it's coming. How do you communicate with your clients? Is it obviously through phone and email and stuff, but is there a technology that you use to communicate, like where you're at in the process, where the budget's at, where the schedule's at?
Well, what I would say is, you know, relationships are best face-to-face.
Yeah.
And so whenever we can, we do a face-to-face meeting. But we do have regular discussions with clients. We have OAC meetings, pre-construction OAC meetings that we attend, and our operations group attends as well. You know, that's one other thing that we haven't talked about here, but we call it an operations-led pre-construction process. And what we really mean by that is, we'll have our project executive or senior project manager involved from day one. And so we're a team that is, you know, communicating and attending those meetings in person. And if they're not in person, then they're by Zoom or some other Zoom or Teams or some other method. But it's a regular touch that we have with our clients. We never want to leave for 3 months and then come back. We want to stay engaged, right? Because we want to hear what's going on. You know, if we're going to provide that expertise, we have to be connected.
Right. Yeah. Especially after the last 4 years, it was probably daily connections with the price escalation.
Oh my gosh.
Crazy. And then the other thing that interests me in Moss, traditionally Moss has been high-rise communities, mixed use, but there's some exciting expansion plans. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, we've done, primarily, Moss, and we're still a fairly young company. We're turning 20 years old next year. Started out of South Florida, and we've done a lot of high-rise product, high-rise for rent product, apartments, condos, hospitality, office buildings. But we have done a lot of sports work as well. Inter Miami, we've done Florida Marlins. We have also done the F1 track in Miami. And here in Texas, we're looking at doing more sports work. We've done some private K-12 sports work here for some private clients. And we're just awarded another one here this past week. So we're looking forward to expanding that, in terms of higher ed, sports, institutional work. We also have in Texas a wood frame multifamily division here. It's the only office in Moss that we do wood frame multifamily. So that is led out of here. And so good markets to be in.
Brilliant. Love it. I want you to reach back there now and grab your crystal ball and tell me what's going to happen in 2024, because 2023, I think it's going to write out nicely. I mean, I don't know about you, but we're nice and busy, and we've got a nice flow. But mid 2024, what's going to happen?
Well, you think about a year ago, we had the busiest year of construction starts in DFW, and 2023 and 2024 is basically carrying that forward. It's a mixed bag right now that we have: the institutional work, the infrastructure work, the public work. We've got some large chip plants that are being built here. All of that market is still remaining very, very strong. The private developer work has been impacted, especially by some of the financial headwinds that are in front of it. We all know about interest rates, but the terms that have changed for their construction lending has really impacted those starts. So 2024, we've really focused on the clients that we have deep relationships with. We've focused on the clients that we know have the means to carry work forward. But it's really an investment. All right. So we're looking at, we have a lot of work under construction right now, a solid backlog. We do have some work that is starting up the end of 2023 and in 2024. I think it's going to be a little bit of a challenge for the private developer community until some of the financial headwinds start to ease up a little bit. But we have a strong backlog of commitments, and we're focused on those clients and having them as close to being shovel ready as possible, because 2024 and going into 2025 could be very, very strong.
There you have it, folks. The man has spoken. I love it. And we're to be honest with you, across the board, not just in the south and the southeast, across the board in the US, we're seeing strong, strong backlog right into the mid 2024. So it's exciting times for everyone. I mean, obviously, you guys are through a lot of industries. Nice diversity there. What now? And I'll finish with this one, because I like asking two questions at the end. One is what kind of advice you would give your younger self, but more so now, what as VP of pre-construction, because you're still fairly young, Grant, and what excites you most about getting up in the morning, going into the office and working in this wonderful industry?
I just love seeing us be successful. Yeah. I mean, we have, it's a team, and we have a great group of people here. I want to see everybody just be successful. And success is different. It's different from each person. So we have to understand it's not one size fits all. Success for each person has to be something that fills their bucket, something that they are emotionally and passionately, can they be fulfilled with what they're doing? And so I just want to see us be successful both. And when I say us, that's really where the relationships come in, because it's our team that I'm blessed to have an opportunity to work with. It's our clients, it's our design partners, it's our subcontractors. There's not one thing that I come in for besides just wanting to see us be successful.
Yeah. Smiles on faces. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah. Well, listen, Grant, this has been absolutely fantastic. I can't wait to get this out. I really appreciate it. Now, if there is anybody out there that's maybe has a question on the wood frame, the student housing, the expansion and the sports, if there is someone who's got a question, where's the best place to get you?
What I would say is you can always email me or call me. You know, my email address is gmendelgen@mosscm.com.
Brilliant. Yeah. I'll put that in the show notes as well down below, folks. If you do have a question with Grant, you can see he's climbed the ladder fairly quickly, even if it's career advice, because we do get a lot of younger people reaching out to the guests, just asking for simple advice on, it can be anything, certifications, advice on making a decision internally on their career. But that'd be wonderful, Grant. Thank you very much, sir.
Absolutely. Gareth, it's been a pleasure.
Stuck in spreadsheets? Tired of the endless loop of copying and pasting? Now imagine all your estimating workflows in one program. Beck Technology's innovative Destiny Estimator software streamlines the entire estimating process. With intuitive tools and powerful analytics, you can create accurate and reliable estimates quickly and easily. We understand the challenges pre-con teams face because we were born from construction. When you are ready to streamline your estimating efforts, visit us at beck-technology.com and talk with a tech expert in a Destiny Estimator demo today.
Grant Mendelgen, VP of Pre-Construction at Moss Construction. It is question time.
Awesome. Bring it on.
First question. Your career, I mean, it's 13, 2, 15, 20, 26 years of career. What has been your favorite project?
Ooh. I'll tell you what, I got a couple, and I got to share two, and they're for two different reasons. One is, I'll call it Wayne State University College of Pharmacy up in Detroit. It's all about the people that you work with. And, you know, construction is a hard business. And so when there are issues, we all ran to the fire. Our client was with us, our architect, our engineers, everybody was with us. We all ran to the fire to try to solve the problems. And right. So I just think back about how great that team was. We have some projects here that have some similar situations, but another, the second one I've got to mention is really there's one Merchants Row in downtown Detroit where we basically took seven abandoned buildings and converted them into apartments and retail. And so the reason, I mean, that's a very, very challenging project. We're dealing with buildings that are 80 years old, had been abandoned for 20 years, dilapidated, some of the roofs falling in. But the reason that it really means something special in my heart is what it meant to the community, to basically take something that was decayed and abandoned and bring it back to life. You know, we brought life back to downtown. And so very, very special.
And I love, and I don't want to kind of, I want to get through these questions, but I love that, right? So how difficult, and this is a kind of a sidestep, how difficult is restoration compared to new ground construction?
Oh, it's a whole different animal. You know, I got some insight there at one of the companies I worked with, which is the Chrisman company that specializes in historic preservation. It's a whole different approach. You know, less nuts and bolts and really digging into and really evaluating what is the existing product, you know, the what is, you know, it's, is it in good condition? Is it in bad condition? And it's like taking care and custody of that. It's a completely, a very, very personal and in-depth, you know, you cannot just look at drawings and specifications for something that is a historic preservation job. You have to put your eyes on it.
Yeah,
you have to go touch it and feel it.
More emotion, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But okay, cool. Second question. Biggest lesson learned in construction?
Biggest lesson learned is what I would say is, you know, just take a step back, you know, just be humble and really, you know, just learn as much as you possibly can. Nobody knows everything. All right. So if you go into it thinking that you know everything, then that's your recipe for failure. So it's the attitude, it's the mindset. Lesson learned of just, hey, take a step back, look around, make sure that you learn from every person that's there.
Brilliant. Listen, we've just gone through your podcast. It's pretty clear that you're a busy guy. How do you get away from it? How do you de-stress?
Oh, you know what? Well, I love my kids. I've got two kids in high school and we do a lot of kids sports. So I love spending time with them. I'll tell you what, working out, you know, going to the gym, that's really what keeps me centered. That's really what gives me time to just make sure that I, you know, I stay focused. I stay healthy because really we have to be the best person We have to be the best person that we can to the people around us. That includes my coworkers, my clients, my kids, my wife, everybody. And so, working out, that's really key.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's a big thing that people misunderstand. They think going to the gym and is selfless. It's actually the selflessness that then allows you to help everyone else. Because if you can't help everyone else and you've got that attitude, then you're letting yourself down. You're letting everyone else down. So keeping yourself mentally and physically strong to be able to carry out the work that you've been put on the earth to do, it's really important.
Yeah, you need to be the best person that you can be.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Favorite food?
Steak. Hands down.
Straight in.
I love a good steak, man. Yeah, absolutely.
Dallas, Texas. Didn't expect anything else. Yeah. Favorite sports team?
I'll say Michigan State Spartans, of course, college football.
Yeah.
Other than that, I'd say the Detroit Red Wings.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Love hockey.
I need one or two people. The mentors or the leaders or the people that you looked up to when you were going through the construction career that you've been through, if there's two people that you could give out shout out to, who would it be?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first one I got to give a shout out to is Mike Lang. Mike was that person who was our financial manager years ago and really took me under his wing. And I also went to him and said, how can I help? Yeah. And I'll tell you, just a fantastic human being, taught me a lot in this industry, both professionally and personally. And I'm forever grateful to Mike. Second person is actually Dan Lemoore. And I'll tell you, Dan Lemoore is somebody who you can learn something from everybody. And what I learned from Dan is he is the best listener I've ever met. And that's really critical in our industry, is to truly listen to people. And he taught me to listen to body language. Now, body language is 70% of the communication. Verbal is just 30. And so he is, to this day, the best listener that I have ever met. And I have really taken from that and tried to just use that both professionally and personally.
Brilliant. Love that. I love the body language thing. Very good. Great advice for young people. Okay, last question. You've just been awarded that project last month. You're out celebrating with the team. Where do you take them? Where's the best place in Dallas, Texas to go and celebrate a good project win?
Oh man, we got a lot of great places here. It's a great community. The favorite one that I've got here that I love going to is called Haywire. It's here in Collin County. It's a great restaurant, kind of a farm to market. Fantastic atmosphere, great service, fantastic food.
I'm going to try it out the next time. Love it. Grant, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Awesome. Take care.
That's a wrap, folks. Big thank you to Grant. As you heard, he is a super grateful, super humble guy. So if you've got any questions, any follow-up questions, no matter whatever stage you are within your career, don't be afraid to reach out to Grant. I will put his LinkedIn profile and his email address as stated on the podcast, so you can hit him up with any questions. Listen, folks, thank you very much for everything. Really, really appreciate your support and really looking forward to bringing you more fantastic guests.